have the pleasure of introducing a special speaker because Pastor Ben is on vacation this week visiting family down south. And the gentleman that I'm going to introduce goes without saying, needs no introduction in this church because Pastor, Brother, Bishop Abel Palomo has been with us for many years, a dynamic preacher, a church planter, a man who has placed himself at God's disposal and who God has used to do many good things. And I don't want to inflate your ego too much, Brother, Pastor, Bishop Abel, but I'm just telling the truth. This is what happens when you give your gifts to God, how he manifests through you these good things, and we give him the glory for that. And so now I'd like to welcome the bishop to come up front to give us a word today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Leo. God bless you. I'm glad he didn't say what he told me earlier. Looks like I'm building a reputation. I said, did you bring your umbrella today? Because it's going to rain. Well, I hope that all of you have had wonderful Christmas celebrations. I hope that you've had a chance to share with your friends and family and you know, just be able to really take advantage of our celebration. You know, Christmas is our celebration. The world has taken it from us. And everyone celebrates it better than we do. And so many times we just, you know, we really are the ones who have the right to celebrate it. But it doesn't stop on the 25th. You know, this is an all year round celebration, you know, because we do truly do have the gift that keeps on giving. And as Brother Leo was saying, you know, we're in our calendar, it's the last Sunday of the month of the year and of the month. And it's a privilege for me to be here, considering that we're about to embark into a new year. And we're always set our sight in new beginnings. It's good to do that. It's good to set your sight in new beginnings and just let go of the past if you were not able to make it then, but start at fresh. Because God is the God of the next chance. You know, we say God is the God of the second chance, but I don't say that. I say God is the God of the next chance because he always takes you from where you are right now. And then he'll give you a chance right from where you are. I'm honored to have Bishop Russ here in the house with us. So we welcome Bishop Russ. We'll give a good clap for him. We love you, brother. He's my mentor. I still go to him. I talk to him. He's the one that I confide with. He's the one that I ask, hey, what do I do here? Or this is what I'm doing. What do you think? And I just try to pick his wisdom. So you have him here in the house from time to time. And you definitely have access to him. Utilize that wisdom. It's still there. You know, he's going to be our guest speaker for the Refresh Conference in April. So make sure that you guys prepare to be there. It's for leaders, and all of you are leaders, every single one of you. Okay, because we're all trying to lead somebody Christ. And I asked him, Bishop, I want you to speak on a theme that only comes through experience. And that is, if I had to do it all over again. What wisdom will this man pour into us when he tells us, if I had to do it all over again? Especially for those who are just beginning in ministry, those who are just embarking in ministry. And there's so many mistakes that you can avoid if you listen to the wisdom of people that have gone through there. It is better to learn by somebody's experience than for you to have to go through the pain yourself. Be wise, my friend, and learn from others. And that is by listening to the wisdom that only comes through time. Time is what gives you wisdom. Young people today have much knowledge, much more knowledge than us. Pick up here, you go to the prophet Google, and you tell us everything, you call us everything we're wrong in, and you say you were wrong, you said the wrong date. It was not that many people, it was less, it was not there, but it was someplace else. Prophet Google. But what happens is that, you know, knowledge is good, But knowledge without time and experience can be very destructive, because it places you in a place where you think you know what you really don't know. It's easy, and Christianity seems to be that way. Christianity is very easy to speak it and to say, this is what you should be doing, and this is what you ought to be doing, but it's really not as easy to live a real Christian life, especially in today's day and age. And it's getting worse. And if you listen to some of what these children are having to deal with in school, what the teachings they have to bear, the words and the lingo and what's exposed to them, it will shock you to death, because you would have never imagined that it's that bad. That it's that bad. So therefore, for us, it is so much more important to be able to live the life that we claim to have in their presence at home. Because speaking it is one thing, knowing it is another, but living it. Living the life where people can say, you are really Christ-like. And be like when the disciples and the followers of Jesus were called Christians for the first time. So it wasn't a title they gave themselves, it was a title that was given to them because they were Christ-like. And don't we just want to be there? Want to be Christ-like. Before we get into the message, we're going to be speaking out of chapter 8 of John. But I want to pray for Mark and Lee before we get started, because they're going to Africa tomorrow. And I think this is very important to get done now. So will you guys please come up here? And church, I want you to extend your hands. God has really given them a tremendous ministry. They've been doing it now for going on 7 years. Started 2017, and now they're going to, 2019 coming. So, well, it's just beginning. It's just beginning. 2019 is just beginning. Okay, so, but yeah, going on 8 years. And I want us to pray for God to give them favor, connections, open doors, because God uses people. And what they're doing needs money, needs resources. So we're going to pray for God to bring people, resources their way, so they can actually take this to another level. Amen? So if you would agree with me, extend your hand this way. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we come together to pray for Mark and Lee, giving you thanks for the opportunity that you have given them to work together in such a wonderful ministry in Africa. Father, caring for the young, caring for children, caring for the burden, for picking up the burden of those who are hurt and trodden. And Father, I just pray, oh God, that you would open opportunities and that you open doors of contacts and that you will send people their way. Lord, that they people with resources, people with connections, people, Lord, that will bring him to another level financially, in every single way, so that everything that they need, every resource that they need, Lord, will be accomplished with ease, because you put the right people. Father, you're the God of resources. You're the God that creates a vision and also gives the provision. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for them. And as they embark to go tomorrow into Africa, and they have to go in so many planes and layovers and such a long trip for such a short time, Father, we just pray for angels to be round about them. We pray for you to give them traveling mercies, give them favor with the people who work in the agencies, Lord, customs, wherever they go, Father, we just pray for favor. We pray the anointing of favor. Let the angels of favor and mercy surround them, Lord, as they go, and protection. We bless him in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and our Savior. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Guys, have a good trip. Enjoy bringing some sun back in a bottle. It's going to be very sunny up there, right?
Actually, it's the rainy season.
Is it raining? Is it raining? Yeah. Well, bring some warmth, because it's always hot. That's for sure. This is a very classical message. We know it. We know it as the woman caught in adultery. in John chapter 8. This is shortly after Jesus has begun his ministry. He just turned the water into wine. He just ruffled people by saying, you know, I am the true vine. I'm, you know, if you're thirsty, come to me, and I will. You know, so he's people. Some people believed in him. Some people didn't. There was division in the house. So there was turmoil. They wanted to imprison Jesus. They already plot to catch him and to, you know. So there was chaos. There was chaos around Jesus, and so he decided to go to the Mount of Olives, as we find in verse 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, we'll go through your word. So we says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. I will be reading out of the New King James Version. I think as we set our goal into new beginnings, into new things, I think it's important that we learn from the life of Jesus, how he carried his life. When there was chaos, when there was confusion, there was persecution, he didn't try to defend himself, but what he did, he refuged himself in the presence of the Father. He just got away from everything. He got away from the hustle and the bustle. He got away from the fame and the blame, and he just went into the Mount of Olives. You know, and those of us who've been there, they tell us that there are olive trees that are 2,000-3,000 years old, and you're like, wow, Jesus could have been sweating and crying and praying right here. You know, so it really brings the word alive. But the Mount of Olives, you know, it talks about an alone place with the Father. Every one of us must learn to have an alone place with God. There's something about being in a place, you know, Jesus went there to pray. And when you're alone in a place with God, it's exactly what you do is you pray. Well, I don't know that many prayers. Well, it's not about learning prayers. It's not about knowing prayers by heart. It's about just talking to your Father. You said, well, Pastor, I never had a father. Well, you do have a father now because he's a father to the fatherless. You said, well, Pastor, I didn't have a good relationship with my father. Well, God the Father is not like our earthly father. He is a good God. He's a good father. He loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you. So it's a place of confidence, a place of trust. It's a place where we're not going to be accused. So, you know, you must spend time alone with the Father as you go into this new year. And you must have times of prayer. And they can be, you know how they talk about power naps? Well, they're power prayers too. And some of the most effective prayers in the Bible are the short prayers. Lord, here am I. Send me. You know? Yes, I believe. Simple prayers is talking to the Father as the Father wants to speak to you through his Holy Spirit and through his word. It was a place of separation from the rest. It was a place of just getting away from everybody and everything, and where nothing distracts you. So you go into your prayer room and leave your devices somewhere else. Because let me tell you, as soon as you start getting into your prayer room, texts start coming and calls begin to happen. And, you know, it's just a way to distract you. So don't allow any distractions. That's why most people who enjoy the wonderful benefits of prayer usually pray very early in the morning. Now that God is not awake at midnight or, you know, it's just a time when there's nothing going on. Most people are sleeping, so it's a quiet time to be able. But you find your quiet time. Your quiet time might be at noon, or it might be 3 in the afternoon. It might be 4 o'clock in the morning. Whatever time it is for you, that you can get away from the hustle and the bustle, where you can just, you know, separate and be in the presence of the Lord, that is your time. And that's where you need to be. Some of us find ourselves waking up and not being able to go back to sleep, so we end up praying early in the morning. Amen. I guess that's a sign of age, right? So they say. So verse 2 says, now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Something interesting that I find about Jesus is that before he taught people, he always listened to what the Father had to say before he taught. And I remember that scripture where Jesus said, I speak what I hear the Father speak, and I do what I see the Father do. That means he was ever present, hearing and seeing the Father. And in my mind, I believe that when he spent time in prayer, God was revealing to him what was going to happen that day already. So when he found, Bartimaeus, when he found, when Lazarus died, he knew what he was going to do because the Father had already told him, this is what's going to happen today. He said, wow, that's quite a relationship. Well, you know, God wants to have that relationship with each one of us. He wants us to hear his voice that clear. Because God is not the God of the unknown or the hidden God that cannot be found. No, he is the God that has revealed himself. He's the God who wants to have a relationship with you. He's the God that wants to speak to you. But listen, guys, God's not going to speak to you if you don't spend time with him. His word can't speak to us if we don't spend time in his word, right? So Jesus comes to the temple. Not that the building meant anything to him. Jesus was not a religious individual. He knew exactly what the word, he knew who he was. Right from the very young age, he knew. You remember when he was 12 years old, he was at the temple. He said to his mother, don't you know that I need to be in my father's business? He knew who he was. He knew why he was here. He knew the temple was just a type. He knew that he was the answer to everything. So he didn't care about the temple. But he cared about the people in the temple. So he would come to the temple because there was people there. So Jesus goes where there is people. You know why we gather together in church? Many people have the argument, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian, but you need to be in church to have fellowship. You need to be in church to be able to encourage one another. You need to be in church to learn from one another. And you need to be in church because that's where the people is that do that, that are in the same page as you are. Then we go out to another group of people that are outside of the light so we can bring them out of darkness into his marvelous light that is found here in the fellowship of the body of Christ. So Jesus went to the temple because there was people. He would go to the market because there was people. He would go to the well because people came to get water. He went where people were. And we need to, now with Amazon and everything, people don't even want to get out. I can do everything from my phone. I can do everything from my computer. I can do everything. And, you become a hermit. Don't be that, man. Get out there and fellowship with people. Meet new people. Talk to people. Invite people. Have a cup of coffee with people. It doesn't matter if they don't agree with what you believe in. Let them get to know the Jesus that lives in you. Let them get to see you on an everyday basis and see that what you are is real. Because that is really the testimony. 99% of the people who are saved do not get saved because they read St. Matthew or St. Luke or St. Mark or St. John. They get saved because they read the life of St. Ed, St. Leo, St. Mark. Our gospel, our life, is being read every day. So there was multitudes there. So he sat down and taught them. Jesus gave us the teaching about that a light does not get lit. A candle isn't lit to be put under the table, but it is put on the mantle. It's put on a high place so that it brings light. Well, light only shines in darkness. We wouldn't put a candlelight out there right now. It would do nothing. But put a candlelight in here when it's night and it's dark, it does everything, right? It does what it's supposed to do. Well, that's who we are. And for that, we have to be among darkness. That means we have to be among unbelievers. Pastor, you're saying to go among unbelievers? Yes. That is where our light shines the most. Just don't do what they're doing. Don't be what they're being. Be the light. Be the difference. Be the way that they can follow. Be the beacon that they can say, hey, I'm following that light. Be the one that makes a difference. And then he says, he sat down and taught them. You know, when it comes to teaching, you need to take your time. You know, when he tells me Jesus sat down to teach, it tells me that Jesus was not in a hurry to teach. He sat down, made himself comfortable, waited for questions, answered questions, gave teachings, was there available to the people. He's available to us right now. Amen. Verse 3 through 6. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And then when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such woman or such should be stoned. But what do you say? And this is what the law says. This is what Moses' law says. But what do you say? This they said, testing him that he might have something to accuse him of. But Jesus stopped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear what they were saying. So basically he ignored them, right? Because they were not seeking the truth. They were the religious, know-it-all people of their day. Is there anybody here like that? Is there a religious know-it-all in here? Be careful, because we can become today's Pharisees. That we get so wrapped up in laws and traditionalism and the do's and the don'ts, and then we forget the whole thing that's out there. We get so caught up in a jot and a tittle, and we forget about the love of God and the grace of God. And this is what Jesus is teaching us in this passage. They knew that Jesus' message was that of mercy. They knew it. The Bible tells us they were testing him. They wanted to accuse him. They wanted to say, look, he broke the law. Because, yes, the law said that a person in adultery could be stoned to death. It would be stoned to death. But they knew that Jesus' message was a message of forgiveness. His message was that of redemption. It was a message of restoration. And they just wanted to stone the woman. Jesus, I can see the image, and those of us who've seen the movie, you know, when he's riding on the ground, they do it in slow motion. When you see the ground, you know. It's really great effects. I mean, Hollywood is great, but they don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, but it was great, great, you know. But I think all of us had imagined, what was he doing? What was he doing? Some people say maybe he was writing the Ten Commandments. Some people say maybe he was writing their names. I wonder if he was just picking up the dust and thinking, what did I do? Because that's what he made us out of. We are his creation. He created us. Maybe he asked himself, what did I create? Or maybe he was asking himself, why is it that my creation does not understand my purpose? Why is it that my creation don't understand their purpose, what they were created to be? Why then could not identify his visitation? They were there, they were angry at him. They didn't want to stone the woman, they wanted to stone him. They were trying to find a way to be able to do that in a legal way. Doesn't that sound like politics today? Let's not go there, right? Okay. Hypocrisy. Bunch of hypocrites. And yet they did not know that he was the fulfillment of the law that they're trying to apply. Did not recognize their visitation. And I tell you what, when we get so wrapped up in do's and don'ts and legalisms, guys, we can so easily miss the whole picture. We can so easily get so wrapped up in judging people and acting in a very foolish way, that in a way that Jesus would not do. It's so very easy to do that, especially when you're doing the right thing and it's costing you so much. And now you got to forgive someone that messed up, you know, and they messed up because they didn't listen on top of it. Yeah, we've all been there. Verse 7 and 8, so when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, who is without sin among you? Let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. You know, Jesus knew what the law said. He gave the law. Remember, Jesus is the oracle of God. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the breath of God. So, yeah, he's the one that spoke to Moses. He's the one that told Moses what to write. He also knew it was a trap. He also knew that people use the word of God to trap you. And you're going to find yourself, as you are walking in the darkness and you're dealing with people in turmoil in their lives who want to justify their way of living, who are going to test you, who are going to say, well, why don't you accept my lifestyle? Why, aren't you supposed to be a Christian and love everyone? They're going to try to take the scripture out of context. Well, guess what? Their father, the devil, done it first with Adam and Eve. Took God's words out of context. You have a father who is the heavenly father, father of Jesus Christ, if you have Christ in your heart. And those who don't have Christ in their heart, their father is the devil, the father of lies. There is not another father. There's only two fathers. There's two paternities in the spiritual realm. Heavenly Father and Satan. Who are you following? Who is your father? You know, Jesus said to some, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you want to manifest. His works you want to do. So all you have to do is look at your lifestyle in private. Look at your lifestyle, what you do when you're not with where everyone that knows you is, and you can identify who your father is. Your own self. You can look in the mirror and know whose child you are. But he turned around and he touched them right in their wound, right where it hurts. Jesus knew exactly where to touch. You know, he did not say, don't throw a stone at her. He didn't say, the law doesn't say that. He just said, look, let me force you to exercise mercy. And he forced them to exercise mercy by saying, whoever's without sin, throw the first one. Wow. And then also in his presence and the Holy Spirit presence bring conviction and memory to their mind. And each one of them began to drop the stones that they were carrying and began to walk away. He forced them to exercise mercy. And you know what? He's forcing us to exercise mercy. We should force ourselves to exercise mercy. Why? Because there's none just. There's none righteous. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. There's not one that has not done something bad. And in God's eyes, sin is sin. In our eyes, we level them, you know. We say this one's greater, this one's, you know, more offensive. But guess what? Either sin will take you to hell. Doesn't matter how big, how dark, how gray it is. If sin is sin, it'll take you to hell, guys. Yeah, I'm the kind of person, I like to rub feathers the opposite way. You know, I like to rub feathers the wrong way. So if I'm ruffling your feathers today, it is intentional. It's by design. But guys, I wouldn't want to see any of you going to hell because you're playing a game with Christianity. Because you're playing a role. And you want people to see you and you're not afraid of what God knows. And I'm praying that the same Holy Spirit that came among this man will come upon you and touch your wound and let you know where our feathers need to be fixed. So Jesus was the only one that would have been allowed to stone her. He was the only one in that presence that could have done it. And verse 8 says, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus, who was the only one with the right, said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, the conscience before holiness will accuse you. That's another reason why we should go to prayer, because when we're in prayer and we're in the presence of His holiness will accuse our conscience and things that we need to change. But God is good. God peels us like an onion. He peels us one layer at a time. He doesn't try to take everything away. He's gentle. He's patient. He's kind. And he will just allow you to see here, allow you to see there a little bit. But there's always another layer that can be taken away, my friend. There's always another layer. I have another layer that needs to be taken away. Because there's still things in my life, there's still things in my thoughts, there's still things in my heart that maybe I have suppressed. And I think that they're no longer there, but they are. They are. Look at prejudice and how deep down it goes. And people that swear they're not prejudiced, they are. If you really pick up the layers. So, but when we're in His holiness and He begins to deal with our heart, we begin to realize, I'm really not that good in that area. And we begin to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Change me. I give it to you. That's what it's for. They recognized that there was not one that was right before Him. They began to recognize. He did not call them out. He didn't say that. They began to recognize. They began to realize they were not able. That only God can judge a human. Only God can judge someone. And Jesus, who was the only one that could judge her, He said, nor do I condemn you. In other words, nor do I judge you. He forgave her. He forgave her. That's it. It's simple. Don't justify yourself, and it'll be a whole lot easier to forgive others. When you have the Creator of heaven and earth, when you have the Savior of the world, when you have God in the flesh before Him, and He looks at a woman that was not known to be an adulterer, but the Bible tells us that she was caught in the very act of adultery. So she couldn't say no. If He did not judge her and forgave her, who are we? Not to forgive those who have ought against us. Think about that. I tell you what, it's a lot easier to fall asleep when you let go. It's a lot easier. So Let's recap and be done with as we pray in a little bit. If you give me 2 minutes. So what did Jesus do? Let's see what Jesus did here. Number one, he asked the accusers. You know, yeah, whoever's without a sin, let him throw the first stone. So he talked to the accusers. Then he talked to the woman. He asked her, where are your accusers? They were all gone. Then he made a declaration. Neither do I condemn you. That's a declaration of forgiveness. That same Jesus is here right now. He commanded something to her afterwards and said, go and sin no more. In other words, I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Leave it here. But don't go doing it again. As we are about to enter 2019, I don't know if you were there standing with stones in your hands ready to stone me because I was found in a sin. I don't know what will cause you to drop the stone and walk away. I don't know if there's anything that you would that would condemn you to the point and say, you know, I can't do this. I got to walk away because there's something in my life. But guess what? That same Jesus is here now. He's here to forgive us. And he's here to tell us, go and sin no more. So as we stand to our feet and we come to a close, I want to ask you to take that very thing that you may be thinking about right now. And will you give it to the Lord and leave it this Sunday, the last Sunday of 2018, and say, I'm going to leave it here, and I'm going to listen to God's counsel that says, now go and sin no more. Will you leave it here? I don't know you, and I can't condemn you, but you know yourself, and God knows you. I can lie to you, you can lie to me, but none of us, even all together, cannot lie to God. He knows our very thoughts. He knows our very desires. Before we even speak the word, he knows the intention of our heart. Simple. Do we want a better 2019? Where our relationship has to be better with him. And if we want our relationship to be better with him, let's drop the stones and drop the things that he's telling us to drop. And let us go as we go into this new year without doing them anymore. I don't know if you're involved in pornography. I don't know if you're involved in drugs. I don't know if you're involved in adultery. I don't know what you're involved. I don't know if you steal, if you're a liar. I don't know who you are. You know who you are. I know who I am. And I know the areas I need help with. And I'm already standing. There's layers that I need to have peeled before I go to 2019. Because 2019, I want it to be a better year. I want it to be a year where I hear God's voice better, where I follow him better, and where I can stand in his presence without shame. Let's pray. And if you have something to let go, will you pray with me this prayer as I pray? Father, this area of my life that I know is not pleasing to you. I know it's not pleasing to you. I've tried and tried. I try to walk away from it. I try to give it up. And I just keep falling into it, Lord. Help me. I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? And will you help me not to do it again? Your word says that your Holy Spirit will come and make me your temple, that you will come and live with me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my mind, I give you my soul, I give you my desires. Live in me. Take my heart, make it your throne, In this 2019, will you please help me to live for you? Let me be a light, a beacon, the light in the midst of darkness, that I may be able to share the wonderful joy that you've given me as I am able to boldly and freely come to your presence, and how you receive me as a loving father, and you hug me and you pick me up and you cradle me in your arms. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for allowing me to be part of this. I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be part of your body, part of your church. Now, Lord, let me be where you want me to be, and let me play the role that you want me to play here in this church. Let me be the pillar that you have raised me up to be. Connect me with the right people in the right place and in the right ministry, Lord, here in this church, where I can make a difference. Father, we just thank you for those who prayed. I thank you, Lord, for those who prayed in the silence of the heart and right there in their chairs. Lord, I'm not here to shame anyone. You know them. And you've heard their cry. You've heard their prayer, Lord. Now I just pray that you strengthen them, empower them through your Holy Spirit, through your word. And let us be a church that loves one another, that helps one another, encourages one another. Bind us together, Lord, so we can do more for your kingdom. Father, I thank you for those who've heard it today, and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. Happy New Year.